the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today on this special March Madness edition. And I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
You sure for a second? I didn't know if that was you.
I'm Tay.
I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. And join us, man. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. We're talking brackets, a little bit more too, but we're talking brackets, baby. You got Pitt and Florida going at it, a gator and a panther. What animal are you taking? I don't know. But give, you know, you could also shoot us your emails at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out the website. You know, we got brackets up there. See how you're doing versus Ray and Tay today. I think Ray's in second place, and our boy E-Complete, the MC, is in first place, tied with our buddy Rob Oquendo, who's a big baseball fan. So, you know, we're having fun with the brackets, man. You know what? I got to say, Ray, last night I almost saw, you know, we almost saw an upset. Only nine teams have led at the half as a 16 seed over one seed. And only two teams have lost by, you know, as close as one. And Coastal Carolina was giving UVA the business early on. And, you know, a certain four-year-old predicted that win, but it didn't happen. So, anyway, let them know, man, how we're breaking down this bracket show.
So this is going to be a really focused show. So we'll briefly bring you the breaking news in the world of sports. Baseball opened up in Australia. We'll talk a little bit about that. We had a couple quick notes about signings in the NFL. A college coach changing from the old Big East to the ACC. And then we'll just go brackets. We'll talk brackets. We'll talk upsets. We'll talk 15-3-12, a 15-3-12 and an 11-1, 2-11. So, yeah, we've got a lot to talk about, mainly in the world of March Madness. But let's start with breaking news. So break it down. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in the world of sports outside of college basketball.
Well, I got to tell you, we got to go. You would think Arizona is Australia because the schedule says that it is. The Arizona Diamondbacks are 0-1 and 0-1 at home, but they played in Australia. And Ray's guy, the multi-million, mega-million-dollar man, Clayton Kershaw, is 1-0. The Dodgers beat the Diamondbacks to start. First of all, Ray, it's too early. It's just weird during March Madness. I know it's in Australia, but they win 3-1, Dodgers over the D-backs. You can't even get a feel for it. A lot of people didn't know the game was on. I don't know if it was on what network it was on.
Did Bob Bremley do it? Did our friend of the show,
Bob Bremley's out there. And congrats to him and his lovely wife, Joan, because they had their first granddaughter. So, you know, they added to the Diamondback family. But I'm just surprised the baseball starting this. I know, you know, I'm sure. You know what I'm thinking? That they must give the Dodgers and Diamondbacks a certain amount of money to play there because they're missing out on all these spring training games at home. And those are ticket sales, concessions, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's just something I just thought of since I went to Salt River Field.
And I guess what they did is they did the games, or they started 10 days before the regular season to give them time to fly there, play, fly back, reacclimate, so they wouldn't be at a disadvantage when they start their first series in the States.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. No, you have to do it. I think there's just two games there. You know, one Diamondback home game, one Dodger home game, and then they fly back. They might even have another – I don't even know if they have another spring training game, and then they start the season. But they do get the rest. I know that. So what's going on? What's up with these coaches? You're talking ACC, Big East. What's happening?
Yeah, so Buzz Williams leaves Marquette and goes to Virginia Tech. So that's interesting. We talked about Bruce Pearl, right, going back – although he can't technically talk to kids until, because of his 2-year suspension, until August, but he's back at Auburn.
He's
or
at
back
Auburn.
In the SEC
yeah.
at Auburn.
Good for
so that's
him.
That's the big
he's
news there. The Jets.
Yeah.
The Jets signed our boy Michael Vick.
Yes, this is the one I want to talk about. All the Jet fans. I got texts and tweets yesterday. Jet fans were going crazy. Mike Vick, who's still a big story and big news in the sports world and NFL, 1 year, $5 million to battle with Geno with his OC from the Eagles, Marty Mortenwig there, and they finally release Ray's favorite player, Mark Sanchez, goodbye.
Didn't like him in college, didn't think he was worth trading up to Cleveland.
How do you really feel? You're a Jet fan. Tell everybody. Jets are both of our second favorite teams.
Jets.
What do you think about Vic replacing Mark?
Trade up to Cleveland and trade up for Sanchez. So the Sanchez era is officially over. Look, I like Michael Vick, and I still think he can
start.
Four
playoff wins.
I still think he can start on this team ahead of Geno Smith. The problem with that is Michael Vick's 34 years old, so you need to answer the question, is Geno Smith your quarterback of the future? And I think you only answer that question with him on the field. Now, if he fails, that's okay. You got an answer to your question. So I do think that Geno Smith still has to – that's the only reason I wouldn't sign Michael Vick is because I don't want him to beat out Geno and not – figure out if Geno's our guy.
Well, if you truly believe
Idzik, a quality player to your team,
right? And they are sort of commenting how they missed Rajesh Kamardi, that they're going to get second tier free agents, and they're not spending big money. That's fine, but go get another weapon. The Pittsburgh Steelers just signed Lance Moore. I am very happy. We're looking at LeGarrette Blount. The Jets should be signing Kotchery back or Lance Moore or whatever. Get another receiver. Get another weapon. Eric Decker is not enough. They should have signed James Jones, not the Raiders. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to talk about football. Let's get into college hoops. But real quick, your boy Durant, 51, who's just trying to let everyone know I'm the MVP, and Westbrook goes out again, and they're saying it's not going to be serious, but he's banging up this knee again.
And it's pretty crazy because up until – that first knee injury, he was an Iron Man. He hadn't missed a game since he was drafted.
This is something we're going to have to watch because I'm going to tell you right now, the Thunder will not win the championship or get to the championship if Westbrook's not healthy. They just won't. And watch tonight, the Spurs go at Golden State. That's a big game for both teams in terms of a statement. The Spurs dominance and Golden State to see if, you know, think that they're going to do anything in the playoffs. They need to hold service at home and handle, you know. So give me an update. What's the score? Panthers, Gators, they're playing this Saturday. It's the battle to go to the Sweet 16. Who's winning, Florida or Pitt?
Florida, 27-22 at the half. Gator Nation, rise up.
Mm-hmm. And those Gators are out there, man.
Well, it's funny because they didn't play great in the first game. And Billy
Donovan, they're not playing great right now.
Yeah, and Billy Donovan didn't have any problem ripping them in the media.
I know you saw that. So day one, four overtime games total after day two, six overtime games. Amazing. Nobody picked Mercer to beat Duke. That goes down yesterday. The 12 seeds. Tell me what's your favorite game so far? What surprised you? Did you got to like Stephen F. Austin. We both talked about that. Dayton, give me your insight of this early upsets, day one, day two.
So the first one that's just shocking is Duke. Because
kept
saying for years and years that Mike Krzyzewski's program there can win him a national championship or they can be out in the first round. They hit 15 three-pointers in that game, which is unbelievable, 15 of 47. But the problem is they only hit seven three-pointers. So that means they're just jacking up threes. And
they shoot too many of them.
But here's the thing. Remember that this same team, you could argue a team that's even less talented. Maybe they were a little bit bigger, but they were less talented 3 years ago, won the national championship. So these are Mike Krzyzewski's teams, though.
But you know what? A better perimeter defensive team. Nolan Smith was a much better perimeter defender than Cook, Dawkins, any of these guys. And you can't have your two best players basically disappear. They don't give Parker the ball enough. He gets 14. They should have been scoring in the post more. And then Hood scores 6 points. So, hey, Mercer deserves it. Mercer played their butts off.
And then The game that killed me, not only because I picked it, but because I wanted to see the ACC Player of the Year, was NC State St. Louis. And even though everything, you know, we always love overtime games and we always love great games, I hate to see how that game ended. And not only because of the outcome, because, look, if I want to see the better team win, but they missed a combined, I forgot how many, but it was a combined 30-some-odd free throws. And that's terrible. And they had the NC State Wolfpack had a 16-point lead in the second half and proceeded to go, I think it was like 8 for 22 from the free throw line. And T.J. Warren, Player of the Year.
Yeah, you want to see him play.
If they had won, here's the crazy thing. If they had won, that means that all four 12 seeds would have beaten all four 5 seeds. So 5 is the curse of death seed. And St. Louis is lucky to be in the next round.
It's something we got to get a numerologist on, Ray. It's something with numerology. It's something. 12 is a special number. I saw that on NFL Network when they were talking about the number 12 with quarterbacks. But 12 somehow dominates 5. It's every year.
Shout out to 12s, right? North Dakota State taking out Oklahoma. It should have been NC State taking out St. Louis. Yeah, North Dakota State was good. They're big, but they were also hitting some threes. Our boy, let's talk about Tommy Amaker and Harvard taking out Cincinnati. That's the other 12. And then last night, Stephen F. Austin taking out VCU. So Shaka Smart, who we like.
Well, you got to feel sorry for the kid. And Shaka said it, and the kid will learn, the freshman. He fouls the guy. He hits, because they were down 4, hits the 3, and then hits the free throw to send it to overtime for a 4-point play. So it was truly amazing that VCU lost that game. And Stephen F. Austin, man, they played with such a fire. I loved watching that game. And one thing that was funny, even in the loss, I loved watching New Mexico State with the big 7'5" guy.
Sam.
He's huge. Oh, my gosh. You know, I mean, a lot of sad stories. You know, you feel bad for Iowa, who had lost in the play-in game, you know, and having the coach's son having surgery and, you know, all that. Then NC Central, they played great against Iowa State, and we'll talk about Iowa State and their injury. But they played their hearts out, and the coach, I think his son, something, there was a fire, and a family fire, and his son was caught in a fire. I don't know. So there's a lot of just sad stories, but then you see these great heroic stories with the Mercers, the Daytons. And let's tap, before we get to the Iowa State injury, we got to tip our hat to Dayton. And Thad Matta has not been playing Dayton, and they always want to play Ohio State. Well, they played them, and they beat them. That's what you do. So we got to shout out our boy also, Dustin Westwater, one, at, you know, on Twitter, who fixed up the Ray and Tay website and does, you know, great work. So check him out. But definitely Dayton Flyers were big things. What's going on, man? The guard from Iowa State, their third leading scorer, is out for the rest of the tournament. What do you think about that?
Yeah, so if you didn't follow it, the kid broke his foot.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's rough.
Yang, right?
They basically, I was like, oh, Georgie, Porgie, probably not going to, they're not going to be able to upset Michigan State now.
Yeah, that's a tough one for them. I mean, you got to figure that Ward did it on Louisville, but Louisville had, you know, Russ Smith and Peyton Siva and Hancock and Bohannon. So Louisville was more equipped to handle a guy going down. Now, Iowa State does have those two great forwards, DeAndre Kane and Melvin Ejim, they need a little extra something to beat Michigan State. Oh, and by the way, we forgot to talk about Adrian Payne. Payne on 41 points. But here's the thing, on 10 of 15 shooting, the guy
very
only
impressive.
Made 10 on 10 field goals, had 41 shots. How did he do that? He had 4 threes and he had 17 of 17 from the line. So, I mean, that's a Chuck
Free
Person type.
Throws.
That's a Chuck Person type performance. You know, that breaks our heart because he knocked our boy Walter Berry out of the tournament in 86.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a great – I mean, that moves you up the draft board right there, 41.
Well, and not just that, he's showing his versatility and offensive skill where people thought he was more of a rebounder in defense. If Adrian Payne can show you this type of scoring, it says I'm a lottery pick, where he has not been in the lottery in most projections. This type of thing, you know, really will show that. One other thing, too, because we talked about this off air, the two teams that I think might have looked the most dominant, Wichita State looked great. Arizona pulled it together. But Michigan State and Wisconsin, representing the Big Ten, looked incredible. This Wisconsin team, like they say, it's not your father's Wisconsin team. Bo Ryan has got scorers, and they look like they're, you know, they're ready for a tournament run. But I want to ask you about this. How about Manhattan giving Louisville the business and taking them to the wire? I mean, that was impressive.
It was Louisville's worst nightmare because it was basically playing them. It's like they're playing in their practice squad, right? The coach is a Pitino disciple. They run all
played
of their
for
plays.
Him, coach
they
for
know
him.
All of the – they know all of the sets.
His system, yeah. They were calling out. He was calling out the plays.
So, really, it came down to, at the end, a huge three from Russ Smith and a huge three from Hancock. But other than that, those two teams played neck and neck.
Yeah. This is something that I thought was interesting, and this would be right in your wheelhouse. So, Ray always talks about knuckleheads. So, the knuckleheads of Kentucky – The Blue Bloods, they got it together with Calipari and, you know, took a tough challenge from Kansas State and won. But the knuckleheads of Oklahoma State, Ray, they were disappointing. Just, you know, take the L. And Gonzaga handles them.
A couple of rounds.
Yeah.
A few rounds. And Gonzaga, you know what? And shout out to Gonzaga. They never get the credit. Even when they're a top four seed, they don't get the credit. But certainly as an eight seed, Oklahoma State was favored. And they're a 9 seed. And so you got to think to yourself, shout out to Gonzaga. And Oak State, I don't know. I don't know what to think about them. I don't know what to think about Marcus Smart, frankly. He's talented, but I don't know.
I think he takes a hit. He'll still be a lottery pick because of the talent and the measurables. But you're wondering mentally and what he plays in the NBA. Is he a 2? Is he a 1? It's I don't know.
He's a good basketball player, but I'm not sure he's a top 5 pick now. You know, top 5 picks are supposed to change your franchise. I'm not sure he's changing anybody's franchise. He'll be a good addition, a quality addition to any team. But let's do this. Let's move forward. So we look backwards. So let's move forward. We're down to 32 teams. I don't know if Buffett has to worry at all. I don't think anybody's alive in Buffett's pool, because to pick 312 and the right 312s plus 15 Mercer plus the 211s, I'm not sure.
I think all the brackets are busted.
Yeah.
Hey, wait, you know what, though? We did not give any props to, and I guess we will when we preview, but James Michael McAdoo and Marcus Page, the Tar Heels, baby. Our Tar Heels are alive.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure
they're not lucky to get past Providence. That little kid on Providence score, and they were lucky, plus that missed free throw, and to grab the rebound like that, James Michael McAdoo missed the free throw, grabs his own rebound.
It was
but
amazing.
But I tell you what,
you got to box out the shooter, right? I mean, come on, we learned that in basketball camp, fundamentals, baby. Anytime you had a coach, you got to box out the shooter. That was ugly. So you're right. Let's look forward. So right now, you got to believe, and I know we've both picked it, even though they're hanging tough, you got to take Florida beating Pitt in this game.
Yeah, I think so.
If Pitt could shoot better, they would have a chance.
Now Ohio State goes down, so does that make Syracuse smile a little bit? And then really there's nothing standing
in between Syracuse, Kansas,
on the bottom half of that bracket?
Yeah, no, I mean, okay, well, I don't know if you want to just go by the games in order, but we'll go by the brackets.
No, we'll just look at brackets, you know.
No. I got to say, I mean, to me, I was impressed with Stanford the way they played. You want to talk about one of our guys, your guy, J.D. Love, Johnny Dawkins, he's doing a good job. There was talks of him, you know, being let go and this and that. But Johnny is Stanford. We got some great coaches at Stanford, right? Our friends of the show, David Shaw and Johnny Dawkins, their programs are in good hands.
Oh, sure.
So, Dayton, Syracuse is going to be able to handle Dayton. I think right now you're seeing with Grant back, Jeremy Grant back, Syracuse is tough again. And if you get, Ennis playing well, you get your guy shooting, he had like 4 3-pointers, they're tough. But you know who I like? I like UCLA. I think UCLA has got a very good chance to upset.
Can they give Florida?
I think they're gonna upset Florida. It's just something that, not going against my own picks, and I did pick it in one of my brackets, but just going against my own picks, it doesn't even matter to me. UCLA, the way that they look, and remember, Jordan Adams didn't get to play in the tournament because he was injured, and he's looking like he's on fire, and Anderson and just all the talents, Zach LaVine. I mean, these guys are balling, man. You better watch out for UCLA.
Balling.
And Tony Parker. Tony Parker has been balling. So.
Wow. Well, we'll talk about that on Wednesday. If in fact Florida wins and UCLA wins, that'll be a nice little game next end of next week.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's obvious. I mean, I think Florida wins. What about Stephen F. Austin? Maybe they give UCLA a run.
They might, but I think they won their.
Yeah, I think this will be chalk. The rest of this bracket will be chalk. I think Kansas will be Stanford. Syracuse will be Dayton. UCLA, I think it'll be chalk.
All right.
Now,
so
this is the
down.
One that's questionable. Virginia. I actually think Memphis is going to take UVA out. Memphis looked pretty good to me. Virginia got it together, but they're a little shaky. You play like that against a Memphis team, although Memphis can't. They score in spurts. They're not a great offensive team.
Yeah.
But Virginia, if Harris is off, they weren't that great, offensively either.
No, and they never have been. So they'll beat you 55-50. But that's the problem with those defensive teams is that if Virginia gets down, they're in trouble. So if Memphis were to go on a 22-8 run and, let's say, leads by 10, 12, 15 points, Virginia would be hard-pressed to make that lead up. Coastal Carolina got them, I think, 8-0, but they were able to come back. But I don't know against a team as talented as Memphis if they can fall behind. So watch out for that. Now, let me ask you this. What does Harvard have to do to beat Michigan State, if it's possible?
They have
Tommy
Amaker
needs to lace it up? Could Tommy Amaker still lace it up a little bit? He must be approaching 50.
Sometimes you just don't know. The old guys get out there and they give you, he can give you a good 10, 15 minutes. Michigan State, I can't see. This would be the shocker of the tournament. I had Harvard winning, but not against Michigan State. If Harvard beats Michigan State, then we all need to just rip up our brackets completely. And then now I think UNC has got a legitimate shot to beat Iowa State. I picked Iowa State, and in a couple brackets I went with UNC. But if James Michael McAdoo can give you 16-10 and give you a double-double and Page and some of these other guys get going, and you got Brian Johnson and Meeks going, they have definitely got a legit – listen, they got to keep Edgem in under wraps. But they got a shot now. I really do. It's about Marcus Page to me.
Yeah, and it's also about shooting. It's about making your shots. And Carolina can't shoot free throws. There's like a 65% free throw shooting team as a team. So in a close game, that might come back to bite them. The bottom half of that bracket is an old ACC, UConn-Villanova. Big East matchup. That's right.
Ray, this is a hard one to pick. I have no clue. I went with Nova, but watching UConn, mentally come back and battle. I think St. Joe's gave him such a tough game and battle that it might push them. And Napier, there's something about this Napier kid. He's got a little.
I was going to say, Doug McDermott might be the best player, and he'll get the National Player of the Year, but Shabazz Napier might be the most important player or the MVP of this tournament. His team relies on him, and he does more for his team than anybody else.
Yeah, this is a coin toss to me. It's a coin toss, but I got Villanova. I'll stick with him, but I think UConn could definitely win this.
Okay. All right, well, let's go up to your boys in Arizona.
So by the now, time I get.
I actually thought Oklahoma State would beat Arizona, silly me. But now with Gonzaga, what do you think?
Is Aaron Gordon. Nah, Aaron
Gordon
is playing
great. Arizona
sleep
a little easier now?
You know what it is? They've really learned to play without Brandon Ashley. And so they're really – I just think they're getting tough. And Sean Miller, we got to just start giving it up. He is a heck of a coach. It's not just recruiting. I think he's a great coach. So I think Arizona handles Gonzaga.
All right. Now, what about the bottom half, San Diego State against North Dakota State? So it's state on state.
You know, I got to tell you, Steve Fisher, man, he's 68, man. He's a Michigan man. We're a great coach. I think San Diego State will pull it out, but this North Dakota State team, they got some pizzazz with them. They got some, you know, these are some guys. So I'll go with San Diego State, but North Dakota State, they wouldn't surprise me.
Can Baylor beat Dougie McBuckets?
I don't know. I got to ask you that one. I like the way Baylor's
playing. I think they can.
Playing.
I think they can. I thought Creighton would lose
in
the first round.
Austin, man, he was a great interview after that game. I was just like so impressed with the kid, the way that they're sharing the ball, that zone. If Dougie is not hitting, and if they do even a little box and one, and have somebody with Dougie, Creighton with the Baylor zone and their length, I think Baylor beats Creighton.
You might be right. And then the bottom half, remember, let me just make this known. I will not watch, if Oregon wins, I will not watch Oregon-Baylor on TV. That's a radio game for me.
Listen, we got to get Ray. Not only does Ray have to get a Bobcats jersey, but we got to get him a fluorescent green Baylor Bears and Oregon Ducks jersey.
No,
somebody
I love
wants
it.
To send
I love
him
it individually.
Show.
I just don't think they can play each other. It's too much. Too much fluorescence on the court.
Yeah, I feel you on that. So do you like Oregon upsetting Wisconsin? Oregon's good. They're very good.
Oregon is good. And, in fact, they were a top 15 team. And they were up and down this season. I like Wisconsin in this game. But you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if Oregon. That wouldn't be a huge upset to me.
Yeah. Our friend at the show, George Reister, George would love that, I'm sure. I haven't seen what he's been saying on Twitter, but I know he's hyped up about his Ducks. So – Wichita
State. Well,
first
of all, we got to throw a shout out to the 35-0 Wichita State.
Okay.
No team in NCAA history has ever gone 35-0. Now
that's crazy.
The 76 Indiana team was undefeated, but they didn't win 35 games. And also that UNLV team that went into the semis against Duke undefeated when they lost in 1991. That team was
UNLV
33-0 or 34-0 something like that. So. Wichita State against Kentucky. Oof, that's a great game. What do you think?
You know what? I got to go with Wichita State. I just think that their leadership and their talent is good enough that even though Kentucky was very up, listen, both the Harrisons were impressive. The way they managed the shot clock last night and milked it down, and still every possession got quality shots against Kansas State. I was very impressed with Kentucky, and I wouldn't be surprised if Kentucky, if they wanted to go on a special run and go to the Final Four. That's how
I'm
good they've been
Kentucky.
Looking.
I'm taking the kids.
Yeah,
I'm
going Wichita State. Yeah, no, I feel you.
Okay.
I'm going to go Wichita State. They want. They're hungry. They want this to be special.
Can St. Louis, who really shouldn't even be there, can they give Louisville? That's not playing great, but can they give Louisville a run for the money?
No, Louisville is going to turn it up and turn it back on, and Louisville is going to handle their business. That St. Louis team, I got into them last year and they disappointed me, and they're one and done. They got their one, or two and done, but they got their one, and then it's over. Louisville's too much. And Hancock is looking good.
Yeah, and he's hitting his threes with, like, water. Now, here's one that's going to warm your heart. So we know for sure that we'll have an 11 or a 14 seed in the Sweet 16 because Tennessee is playing Mercer. So how great is that for one of those two? Now, Tennessee's obviously coming from a big conference, and they're a big-time program.
Yeah, but it's good because their program has been in trouble. Not good since the days of, like, what, Allen Houston?
Bruce
Pearl.
Well, no, Bruce Pearl had him top
five. Well, yeah, he had some players.
But that was 5 years ago. So, yeah, so I think Tennessee is probably too much for Mercer. I think they're long. They're big. Tennessee's big. So I don't know that Mercer can handle their size.
Yeah, and unlike Duke, you know, Tennessee, they actually go inside. So I think Tennessee will win.
All right, well, let's finish it up with the bottom.
Well, this one, you picked it. You had Texas. I give you props for that one. I really thought Arizona State would be able to do something, and I feel bad for the Carson kid, but he's young, so they'll be back. But Texas has got a little bit more talent than I remembered. They look good. I think they're going to give Michigan quite a game, but I think Stauskas, he must have gone to somebody's basketball camp over the summer because Michigan is they're looking good, and I like the way that Harford and Robinson and Morgan, Stauskas, Michigan's talented. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is that LeVert's cousin?
Yes, that's Gerald LeVert.
Gerald LeVert. So, yeah, I like Michigan, too. I think Michigan takes care of business. They're doing all this without Mitch McGarry. You would love to see them play with him if that would have made a big difference. But
well,
how
dominating would they be? I mean, it's almost, like, scary.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about it. It really is. So it's going to be great. I think I don't know. Before we wrap it up, give me one upset that I guess that you think could still carry through.
Well, I had Kentucky.
Who could win this game? Okay, you got Kentucky. So
Kentucky.
If Kentucky wins this one, but I mean, give me somebody that can win this one and one, and at least one more. I'm talking getting to the Elite Eight. Is it Kentucky?
I don't think they could beat Louisville, but they might. So I give you Kentucky as one. You know what? I'll give you another one. UConn. Even though this is not the UConn team of Kemba Walker, I think Shabazz Napier is special. And he learned under the master, under Kemba and Calhoun. And I think now that Iowa State's hurt and Carolina can't shoot and Villanova's an overrated number two, Connecticut could win two more games and meet Michigan State. We didn't predict that initially. I predicted Iowa State in that game. But you know what?
Yeah.
Connecticut is a number seven seed that's very dangerous.
Okay. And you know what? The one that I would have to pick is, Memphis would lose to Michigan State. So I guess I'd have to go with Stephen F. Austin. If they got past Louisville, I mean, UCLA, and I think UCLA is actually the team, but it's not really an upset if it's a four seed, right? So if Stephen F. Austin could beat UCLA, they might be able to go on a run and even beat the Florida team.
Really?
Stephen F.?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Stephen F. And watch North Dakota State. Those are the two.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, this has been a great show. We're talking brackets. We'll be back on Wednesday with a lot to talk about and get into some detailed previews of Thursday's Sweet 16.
Oh, definitely. What's going to be great is that we'll have all those games to preview. We'll, you know, wrap up everything, give you a little bit of, you know, see what happened the rest of these two games in Australia, a little bit of NFL signings and stuff like that, and we're hitting you hard with the bracket. So thanks for listening, and hey, we're talking sports with friends. Ray and Tay, we're out.
We're out. Have a great sports weekend.
Peace.